Welcome. We are glad you could join us for the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered on November 3rd, 2019 by our pastor of high school ministries, Dan McPherson. Today's message, You Are the Church, taken from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. This sermon is part of the series, Colossians, the Supremacy of Christ.
So last week we looked at the first 11 verses of chapter 3, and Paul is writing, set your mind, set your heart on things above. Put to death, meaning continually say no to, starve the temptation of lust, anger, greed, gossip, cussing, wrath, etc. Those were the old self, the old you, but now Christ is your life. So you are living in a new reality. So the question becomes, what is that new reality? Cue this week's passage, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And I've asked Micah if he would read the passage for us. So Micah, read it. There will be on the screen. You can follow along.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God, and we believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Micah. So this is the passage that was read at Hope and I's wedding, actually, which is really cool. What's not cool is Hope had to remind me of that when I told her I was teaching on this passage. What's even less cool is I actually have it written on the inside of my ring. So clearly it meant a lot to me. But as I was reading it again, there's a reason that we chose it for our wedding, because it's a beautiful template for how to live as Christians, as little Christs, as little Jesuses in relationship with each other, not only in a spousal relationship, but in relationship with the church, with other believers. So this passage is highly relational. And as I read it, I thought, there's no way that I can stand up here for 27 minutes and talk about it. We have to do this together as a church today. Because the big idea is, you are the church. It's very simple. You are the church. So my vision for this morning is we will move through the passage one verse at a time. I'll do some teaching to set up an activity that then we will do together. Then I will do a little more teaching to set up the next activity, and we will move together. So it's a group effort. I'm going to participate a little bit. We've got Eric on the guitar. Give him a round of applause. He's going to help us out a little bit. And then y'all are jumping in as well, so this is a morning where you make it what it is, all right? It's going to be a fun morning. So we begin in verse 12, where Paul writes, because we are God's chosen people, since you are holy and dearly loved, what he's saying is, this is who you are now, put on then. And he gives five virtues that we should embody as little Jesuses: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So this morning, we're going to clothe ourselves in those traits. When you came in, you should have received a slap bracelet. If you don't know what these are, you slap it on your wrist, it becomes a bracelet. Do you remember these? Okay. They were first made out of metal. I was looking up the origin. They actually stabbed a lot of people, so I'm hoping that I think this one is okay, is safe for you. You'll notice that you can write on it. There are some markers in the seat pockets in front of you. Pass around the markers so you have different colors, make it look pretty. But I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, and I want you to decorate your slap bracelet with the virtues that are now your identity as little Jesuses. So I'm giving you some examples. Maybe some of you want to write all five on there to symbolize that that's what you want to live into. Maybe some of you want to write from verse, go back there, Faith, sorry about that. The things from verses 5 through 9, just the example, yep, that's perfect right there. 5 through 9 that you don't want to live into, you can cross it out, symbolizing that you want to put it to death. Maybe there's one that you just, God is really saying you need to work on this, and you just put it down. So make it your own. Eric's going to play some music under us, and we're just going to write these. Ask God which virtues he's challenging you to grow in this year. And go. Very good, very good. So as you finish up, look at verse 14. So Paul says, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So all of these virtues, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, all of them are tied together by love. Love brings them all together. So what I want you to do is now write love over those virtues. Maybe you're really proud of your bracelet, so you just want to put the letters around so you're not crossing out your real pretty things, but write love somewhere on that bracelet to symbolize that those tie all of those things together, and then clothe yourselves in them. Put them on your wrist to symbolize that that's what you want to do. Very good. I love hearing the slapping. So we've spent time in verse 12. We've dabbled in verse 14. So now we move on to verse 13, which says, as God's chosen people, we're putting on these virtues. As God is working in our heart, transforming us inwardly, that should affect how we act outwardly. Yes? Do we agree with that? Yes, the answer should be yes. So part of that outward change is bearing with each other and forgiving one another. Why? Because God forgives us, Paul says. In Matthew 18, there's a well-known conversation between the disciple Peter and Jesus. And Peter says, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. His point being, forgiveness is not a tally mark. It's what we do as little Jesuses. It's who we are. Forgiveness is at the core of our Christian experience with Jesus. It's the heart of the gospel. God's forgiveness is lavishly given to us through Jesus, and he's calling us to do the same. Again, every part of this passage is highly relational, the standard with which, through which we are to live as the church. And remember, you are the church. So what I thought we could do this morning is find someone across the room who you need to forgive and go do that right now. Just kidding. That was my first idea. My wife kind of pulls me back from ideas, and we go with a little bit different way. So what I am going to do is I'm going to have Eric play a song over us that talks about forgiveness. And the words will not be on the screen. What I want you to do is sit and pray that God would bring to mind someone that you need to forgive. And then this week, I challenge you to go forgive them. Pretty big, isn't it? And yet Paul says, if this is who you are now, forgive one another. So let's do that today, Eric, if you'd sing over us.
Well, I can't believe what she said, and I can't believe what he did. Oh, don't they know it's wrong? Don't they know it's wrong? Yeah. Maybe there's something I missed. How could they treat me like this? It's wearing out my heart, the way they disregard. Oh, this is love, this is hate. Oh, we got a choice to make. Oh, Father, won't you forgive them? 'Cause they don't know what they've been doing. Oh, give me grace to forgive them, 'cause I feel like the one losing. It's only the dead that can live, but still I wrestle with this, to lose the pain that's mine 70 times 7 times. Oh, although it doesn't feel right for me to turn a blind eye, and I guess it's not that much when I think of what you've done. Oh, this is love, this is hate. We got a choice to make. Oh, Father, won't you forgive them? 'Cause they don't know what they've been doing. Oh, give me grace to forgive them, 'cause I feel like the one losing. And oh, Father, won't you forgive them? 'Cause they don't know what they've been doing. And oh, give me grace to forgive them, 'cause I feel like the one losing.
Jesus, I pray that you would give us the grace to forgive that person that came to mind. That if we weren't willing to ask you in this moment who we should forgive, that you would bring that person to mind today, whether we want to or not, that you would challenge us to live into what you call us to do as your children, as the church. In your name, amen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, we together, the church, clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We bear with each other. We forgive each other. We put on love that ties us together in unity, harmony, peace. And in all of that, be thankful. Writers in Scripture are constantly giving thanks. If we looked at the Psalms by themselves, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The Lord is my strength, my shield. With my song I give thanks to him. I will offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I could go on and on and on. Scripture is filled with thanksgiving and praise for God. And as God's chosen people, it should be natural for us. We've been forgiven. We have the love of the Creator. We have the peace of Christ ruling in us. Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule, meaning let it be number one in your life. We should have thankfulness pouring out of us. And together in community, it's essential to speak thanks, to share publicly with each other, encourage each other with the reasons that we're thankful. But I wonder if often when we are together in community, we skip that and move to the requests, the things that we need prayer for, and we forget to give praise and thanks. But Paul writes, be thankful. In verse 17, whatever you do, give thanks, Paul writes. So this morning, we're going to give thanks together as a church. My vision is that someone will speak up. You can stand up or just speak from your seat. Something that you're thankful for. Not long, a sentence or so that I can then repeat it. The other side of the room can hear it. But just something you're thankful for. It could be big, could be small. So let me start. I am thankful this year for God's provision for my family, specifically financially. He's provided for our needs. Now it's your turn. Go. Just anyone. Anyone. Thankful for your health.
I'm thankful for First Alliance.
Thankful for First Alliance. The grace God gives day by day. Loyal friends, fear of the Lord. Thankful for your dad.
My job.
Thankful for your job. The vitalization of the prayer ministry. Yeah.
The Word.
Thankful for your husband. Thank you for Jesus. And then what? Thank you for your house. Thankful God's in the details of your life. Thankful for God's faithfulness. Thank you for healing. Thankful for your children. Thankful for forgiveness. Father's patience in our lives. Yeah. Thankful for freedom. Thankful for friends. For the hope of heaven. Thankful for laughter. Thankful for youth leaders. Thank you. Relationships. Thankful for food. For the Word of God. Thankful for grandchildren. Anticipation of a new heaven, new earth.
Thankfulness for the gift that you have given me.
Gift that he has given you. How many times in your week do you experience something like this? In all of what you do, Paul says, be thankful. There's something encouraging about just speaking it out, both for you and for everyone else. Yes? People say things and you resonate with that. People say things and you say, wow, I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that's how God was working in your life. We move quickly. I love the prayer bulletin. I love the prayer bulletin. But this week we had one praise and 20 requests. Now, maybe the prayer bulletin is 4 requests. But surely we have more than one praise in a church of 900 people, yes? How quickly we move to God, please, rather than God, thank you. In all you do, be thankful. Paul then writes, not only should we give thanks by speaking it, but by singing about God's gratitude. So Eric is going to lead us in a little medley of 3 songs that are giving thanks, thanking God for his greatness. So would you stand, and Eric's going to lead us.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, only you. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With each breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With each breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
There's something about singing that's different than when you came in this morning. Why? Because you've just had a time of speaking encouragement over each other. I very rarely sit on the front row, but I sense a difference, a volume difference in just the spirit with which you pray, with which you sing. And you don't have to wait until November to give thanks. You don't have to wait until Sunday to give thanks. What if you could go through your week with that spirit? Just a thought. Thank you. You may be seated. We move on. A continual prayer I have for students, for myself, is that we would be in scripture and prayer every day, because these are how God speaks to us, yes? Through his word, which we're thankful for, through conversation with him. And that's why verse 16 stands out to me, maybe more than any in this passage. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish, which means warn one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. That word dwell means to abide, to rest, to sit, to Sabbath. It's an active word. Be proactive in your rest, in your dwelling. Sabbath, sit with purpose. May the message, the word of Jesus, dwell, rest, sit, Sabbath among you richly with intentionality. This verse has a unique give and take. We receive the message, we let it dwell, and then we also give. We actively teach and warn each other. So this morning, we're going to practice that together. I'm going to push you even more out of your comfort zone. On the screen, you'll see scripture references that fall in the categories of teaching, admonishing, and wisdom. So you'll need your Bible. Pull out your Bible. And what I want you to do is get in groups of four or five. You can circle up, move your chairs around, forget about second service. Early bird gets the worm applies here. They can deal with it themselves. So get into circles, four or five, and then take turns. Read two or three scriptures over each other. And it's going to be a give and take. Let it happen. Maybe you want to close your eyes, just listen to the words. And then it'll be your turn. And you will give that. You will teach that. Remember, you are the church. Some of you are feeling very nervous right now, yes? And I am not apologizing for that. So get in circles right now. Let me give you 7 minutes. I'll give you 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes for you to circle up and read some scripture to each other. And go. The big idea today: you are the church. You are God's chosen. You are set apart, dearly loved. So clothe yourselves in virtues. Forgive one another. Live in love with a spirit of unity, harmony. Let peace be number one in your life. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach, warn, speak wisdom, sing with together. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wherever you are, whoever you're with, live in a way worthy of Christ. Do it, say it, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are the church. This morning was different. Different even by Dan's standards. Slap bracelets circling up were probably not what you were expecting when you walked in. I get that. But could it be we've developed a warped sense of what church is? Is it possible we've reduced church to a ritual that only requires us entering, singing, standing, sitting, standing, sitting, listening, standing, leaving. I don't think it's a leap to say that's not what Paul is talking about with the church. I think what he had in mind is what we did today. Communion, interaction, sometimes awkwardness, messiness, forgiveness, confusion, thankfulness, singing, hope, joy, all in community together. You are the church. You're not the consumer coming to church. You're the church, an integral part of the body of Christ. Eric and the worship team are going to lead us in one last song that describes Paul's last verse perfectly. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments, my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet, let them be swift, beautiful to Thee. Stand and let's sing that together.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee.
Thank you for listening with us today. Here at First Alliance, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us and have access to other Christ-centered messages, please check out faclex.com. That's faclex.com. Grace and peace to you today.